Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today.
Hello and welcome to The Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers. I'm pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent, a southeastern suburb of the City of London. You can find out more about us by going to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Christ Lutheran Church UK, where we're currently live streaming our Sunday morning broadcasts, and we have different prayers and readings throughout the week for you. So again, encourage you during this time of lockdown to check us out on that medium. If you are up in Scotland, you can check out St. Columba Lutheran Church in East Kilbride. Check out their Facebook page, and once we get back to normal, they'll meet each Sunday morning at 11 a.m. So would encourage you to find out more information about those congregations or any other congregation in the LCE. Go to our website, lutheran.co.uk, click on the directory button, and get in touch with the congregation closest to you. As always, I'd like to thank you for your prayerful and your financial support of Lutheran Radio. For without your prayers, without your generous gifts, we wouldn't be able to carry on this ministry, and a ministry which is proving to be incredibly valuable during these times of lockdown and shutdown and fear around the world. We know how God is touching lives through the work that's being done on Lutheran Radio UK, and we are deeply grateful to you for your support in this mission. We're very pleased to welcome back to Lutheran Radio Dr. Stephen Peach. He is Professor of Pastoral Theology at the Australian Lutheran College in Adelaide, Australia, the Seminary for the Lutheran Church Australia. And he's also author of a wonderful book of Good Comfort, talking about Luther and his dealing with people who are suffering from depression. And we are very pleased, as I say, to welcome you back, Dr. Peach. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Now, today, in the midst of our world, where we are all under lockdown with the pandemic of the coronavirus, we thought we might spend some time talking about suffering and suffering within the life and role of a Christian. Well, let's start with the basic question then. What is suffering, and where did it come from, Steve?
Well, suffering's all got to do with the reality of sin in our world, and the reality of that is that, the story from Genesis of humanity's disobedience to God and the suffering that brought with it, and you have these very powerful statements that God gives about what the consequences of sin are going to be in the world. We're going to have pain, difficulty, suffering, illness, and finally we're going to suffer death because we somehow got out of kilter with the beautiful world God created for us through the disobedience of Adam and Eve. And that's disobedience which we now are all born in, and which we share, and which we then choose. Our world is really laboring under that burden. We're groaning. St. Paul describes the way the world groans under the weight of that. And so we shouldn't be surprised. We're in an imperfect, broken world that's not working the way God designed it to work, because we have continued to go in the wrong direction. And this is a complex, multifaceted reality. Somebody once described sin and suffering like a net that you have your feet caught in. And we human beings do stuff to each other. We do stuff to ourselves. And after a while, suffering, pain, all of these things, it's like a big net. We all have our feet caught in this net. The coronavirus, one way or another, is a result of this broken world and things not being right at that cellular level. And this is the fruit of it. And the terrible suffering that we've seen in Europe and the US is a really stark and disturbing reminder of of the reality of illness and death, which are the outcomes of this spiritual reality of sin in the world.
And you talk about suffering, and it seems to me that Christianity and Judeo-Christianity really take suffering seriously, unlike some other world religions. Can you talk about what the Bible does teach about suffering, how real it is, how painful it is, and how God deals with that suffering?
It's very interesting. When you read the Old Testament, of course, you've got the book of Job. And it talks there about a guy who goes through suffering, which is just so extensive that it's impossible for us to really imagine the suffering he goes through. He loses his health, his family, his reputation. He loses everything, and he's just like a hardly still alive man standing on the face of the earth. It's interesting that he begins to question God about this. And it's interesting that God says, well, you don't understand my ways. You don't understand what I'm doing. In time, Job experiences God's blessing, God's salvation again. And so we have these portraits all through the Bible. There's some of them in the Old Testament and New Testament too, of course, we have them. Particularly, of course, the big one is Jesus. We see that Jesus suffers in some ways like Job in the Old Testament. He undergoes the losses of everything and eventually the loss of his own life. But unlike the situation with Job, with Jesus, God reveals the ultimate meaning of Jesus' suffering by raising him from the dead. And looking back on all of that suffering from the point of view of this great festival that we've just celebrated in the Christian church, the festival of Easter, we see that Jesus' death was redemptive and that his suffering brings meaning and brings dignity to all suffering that human beings undergo. Somebody once said that in Jesus' suffering, he sums up and collects and holds to his own embrace the suffering of every human being. So the biblical picture about suffering is profound. And in our Lutheran tradition, we have the theology of the cross, which is really what I just described, this whole reality that God suffers with us in the person of Jesus, and God comes to share in our human flesh and our human desperation, our human despair, and takes it all to the cross with him, so that all who go with him to the cross and go with him through that experience of death will experience resurrection. And that's the wonderful promise of Easter. And it's the promise that enables us Christians to have some kind of hope in the midst of suffering, even very severe suffering.
And you talk about this severe suffering and the hope. In my pastoral experience, I've had a couple of cases where people have really gone through intense sufferings. And their first thought is, what have I done, God? Why are you punishing me? Is that a correct way of looking at that?
Well, whether it's correct or not, it's actually an extremely human and understandable question that people ask, because we are used to, in the modern Anglo-Western world, we're big on cause and effect. We have this idea that if we've got a bad effect, then we go looking for the cause of that bad effect so we can change the cause and then change the outcome at some point, and by doing that, gain some way of dealing with the suffering or the source of the suffering. And so you're saying, well, did I do something wrong, or did somebody in my family do something wrong, or how do we rationalize this, and how do we find the cause so that we can deal with the effect? And the interesting thing is that I think the world is not always it doesn't always give us the answer that we're looking for. The cause of our suffering is actually often very obscure and hard for us to find. And ultimately, you know, spiritually, if we look at a whole thing of, we can say, well, there's sin behind it. There's all these other realities of the broken world behind our suffering. We go back beyond that. We say, well, our God is in charge of all of this. And indeed, Martin Luther gets to this point in his great writing, The Bondage of the Will, where he says, God is in charge, and he's in charge even of the suffering in the world. And he doesn't always tell us why you've got the coronavirus, or why your child has become seriously ill, or why something has happened in your life. Instead, the answer he gives, and we've come full circle back to it, is that he gives his own son, who dies on the cross for us and shares that pain and that agony. And that's the answer which God gives us about suffering. I can go looking for all sorts of things that I might tell myself about my suffering. I can say, well, you know, it was because of something my parents did, or it was because of something that was done to me in my childhood by someone else, or I'm a victim of some problem or other. But, you know, everything ultimately comes back to that man hanging on the cross and the suffering which we see there. And it's not that we can somehow join in that and have a big misery party with him. That suffering and death on the cross is redemptive, and it makes sense of our suffering. It makes life out of our suffering. It makes resurrection out of our suffering and death. So, you know, this is a big and intense question that theologians like to discuss on a theoretical level, but when you've been a pastor, as I know you have, John, you see this on the very human level, and people ask that very reasonable question, and we don't often have a highly reasonable answer. We have the answer of the man on the cross and pointing people to him and to everything that he's done for us.
And as you say, this comes out of real pain. This is real suffering. But what would you say? Because I've heard it said, and I think this perhaps underlies it a little bit, is, okay, yeah, we believe that Jesus died on the cross and he took our sins on him, and that's wonderful and hallelujah. But then comes the resurrection, and the resurrection brings victory. And victory means no more suffering, no more pain, no more tears. You know, we live the victorious Christian life, so God has conquered everything. So suffering isn't part of my life, or shouldn't be. How do you respond to that? Because I've heard that from some Christian friends of mine.
That's that rather kind of triumphal view of the Christian life sort of ignores the fact that, unfortunately, we are still living in the midst of the world. God's called us to be in this world of suffering. We carry with us in our body, in our very body, the resurrection life that we have, the eternal life and the hope and the joy that we will have in heaven. We carry that with us already. But we also carry with us the death of Jesus in our body, Paul says, so that we can empathize with, walk alongside, and reach out to the suffering who are with us. So, why do I still have to suffer even though I'm in Christ and I have eternal life? Well, Christ's called me here to walk alongside the suffering and to be Christ to them, to carry my cross for the sake of my neighbour. And so, we live in a world, we're still affected by the working out of sin and death. We're still affected by the coronavirus, and we're still affected by the terrible things that are done, and, you know, violent things that are done across the world. You're much closer to it in Europe than we are here in Australia in many ways, and yet it touches us at times too. So it's very real. However, this isn't just suffering that we are bearing because we happen to still be here. We're here with a purpose. We're the church, and God has sent us to be Christ to the world and to suffer with the world in Christ's name as Christ for others. Luther tells us that that's what our vocation in life is to be little Christs to other people and to carry the cross of suffering that we have in a way that glorifies him and shows him to other people, gives hope to other people through him.
Was listening to a sermon you were preaching during the season of Lent. Thank you for sharing that with me. And one of the lines that really struck me, you said, God works through us when we least expect it, and that can happen in suffering. What did you mean by that?
It's a very interesting thing that God knows us so well, and he works with us. He has safecracker's fingers, God does. For the human heart. He knows each of us. He's created each of us. And when he, like the master craftsman he is, when he's working with us to equip us and to form us mysteriously, as he does through life, he's often doing it in ways that we're not immediately aware of, you know, and we're human beings. We take a while to get the idea from God. We're sometimes slow to understand what God's doing and how God's working in our lives. This is one of the problems that we have because of the residue of sin in our own lives. Our own spiritual understanding is often deficient and we often take a long time to cotton on to God's work in our lives. That's what happens. And so very often, you know, I have been greatly inspired by the wonderful patience of another Christian in suffering. I had a lady in my parish in Melbourne in Victoria when I was a pastor there, and she was patiently bearing this long illness with great joy and peace and goodwill. And I said to her one day, "You are an inspiration to me." And look, I couldn't have said anything more surprising to her. She said, "Whatever can you mean?" And I said, "Well, your patience and your joy in the midst of suffering shows me the person of Christ and his love, and is an example to me, an inspiration to me." That's an example of the way God can be at work in us and through us in our suffering in ways that we just don't even imagine or understand. Because the Holy Spirit's got his hand on all of this. And the Holy Spirit, Paul tells us, searches the heart and works with the human heart, sometimes long before the mind has got a clue what else is going on. And I think, you know, that's just that little experience is just one example of the way in which people's dignity, joy, hope, and faith in the face of suffering is one of the greatest witnesses that we can give to other people. And God uses it in ways that we don't understand, and we may not ever know what God's done through us.
I've had those experiences as well, and I can think of some wonderful saints I can't wait to meet in eternal life and thank them for the joy and example they were for me as well. But this takes me, I suppose, to the trite saying we often treat it very tritely, "Thy will be done." We pray it in the Lord's Prayer. We talk about Jesus praying it. Is it God's will sometimes that we suffer? Is that a possibility?
Now, there's a controversial thought, I'm very aware that you've uttered a phrase there, John, which for many people today in our world is complete heresy. This idea that a good God might allow suffering, or can you believe it, even send suffering. But this is the interesting thing, and we go back here to the Job story. You know, Job is having a crack at God in the midst of his suffering, and God says, well, actually, listen, Job, were you there when the world was created? And were you there when I put the sea and the stars and everything in place? Do you know everything about what's going on in this universe? But I do, because I'm God. And, this whole question of does God cause suffering? Well, if God is God, if God is actually the one in charge of creation, then yes, we must say that God might allow us suffering. God might allow suffering in our lives, which is very severe, which may even lead us to death. And we may not see all of the work that he's doing through that and the good results of what our suffering brings in our own lifetime. We just may not see that. I think of people who have been who have fought in wars against evil regimes and have lost their lives defending other people. They never saw the fruit of their suffering during their own lifetime. That's perhaps one example of the way in which God sends suffering, God allows suffering, God calls us into suffering sometimes in order to work through us in mysterious ways that we can't understand or see. When I was studying for my PhD, I was really struggling with this thought. I wanted to still have a God who was God of everything, and yet somehow we couldn't blame him or put suffering at his door. And I was challenged in this regard eventually by a professor who was visiting here in Adelaide, Professor Hans Schwartz from Regensburg in Germany. And he said to me, you have a shamanistic God that you think you can control, but this God, the real God, he doesn't play by your rules. He's a God who does things his way, and you can't have a God who just is made in your own image, who's a God who's tame and safe. This God that we have is greater than our images of him or our constructions of him. You might recall that famous line in C.S. Lewis's, I think it's the line, The Witch in the Wardrobe, where they're talking about Aslan, who's the Christ figure, and somebody says, one of the characters says, he's not a tame lion. Our God is not a tame lion. He's a God who is sovereign and powerful. Ultimately, we know in Christ that he loves us eternally and passionately through his Son Jesus Christ. And that's the reason that we know him. That's the way we can know him. That's the reason that we believe in him and worship him and follow him. But yes, he's a God who does bring suffering, and we don't always know the reason why.
You talk about God not being tame. Absolutely agree with you. And Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. And I'm comforted by Paul, who talked about his thorn in the flesh and why did I have this? So again, how can God use these difficulties that come our way and maybe even allows to come our way? How can he use those to mold us, form us, break us to be his disciple, his child?
There's probably a lot I could say in response to that, but I'm just thinking with the time frame we have left to us, one of the good things that I could probably say is that God has a lot of work to do in the process of breaking down our rebellious human will in order that we might be able to serve his purposes. So I think very often speaking, if I might autobiographically for a moment, the thing that God has had to deal with in me enormously as a human being, his servant, his imperfect servant, is my pride. I can think of you know, several examples in my life of where I've had to suffer humiliation. And, you know, sometimes it might be that I've looked at that, those, some of those experiences, and they've been very unjust. Or I could look at them and I could recount them and think, oh, boy, am I a victim, you know? Boy, have I gone through some stuff. You know, I went through chronic suicidal depression as a very young man. That was terrible. That was unbelievable. It reduced me to something really very pitiable. Why did I have to go through that? When I look back, I think that in my case, perhaps not in everyone's case, you people who experience that, I needed to come to understand that that God was really God and that I wasn't, and that I needed to place myself under Him and trust in Him. And you know, I've had other experiences in life too where my pride has led me into great mistakes, and God has allowed me to wear the fallout from that and to suffer the consequences of other people's reaction to my own sin and the fruit of that. And that's actually been very important for me in having myself shaped and molded through suffering to be a hopefully a better servant and a more ready tool in the hand of God.
Dr. Stephen Peach, we thank you for your insights on suffering and its role in the life of a Christian. We'd like to invite you and our listeners back next week as we carry on our conversation. Thanks again, Stephen.
Thank you, John. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.